Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I was curious, and I did some research, and I have some answers. And that is, how big of a favorite are the LA Dodgers?
Mm.
So I went to a gambling website, of course. Gambling is the topic of the week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Just to get a perspective. So I'm going to give you the numbers, and I'm going to give you context. The Toronto Blue Jays to win the World Series are plus 184. They are significant underdogs against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay.
Which is kind of odd when you think about it from this perspective. The Blue Jays had a better record over 162 games and have home field advantage.
Yeah, but the Dodgers are playing ridiculous baseball right now.
Understand. I can't argue that, and I kind of agree with the sentiment. Like, mm-hmm. You ask me today, we all probably think the Dodgers are going to win. I wanted to put that out there. Like, the Blue Jays had a better record. They did. They have home field advantage.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Dodgers in five.
I looked into the history, and this goes only back to 1985, which is a pretty big sample size, but not the entire history of the World Series. If the Blue Jays win the World Series, it would be the fourth biggest upset in the history of the World Series since 1985.
Wow.
There are three other World Series that would go down as bigger upsets based on gambling
odds. Right, so the last 40 years.
Since 1985.
Wow.
Now, I'll let Tommy, as a baseball fan, as a guy who knows a thing or two, give me the three upsets that were bigger, according to the gambling odds, than if the Blue Jays beat the
Dodgers.
First
one that comes to my mind immediately, Marlins beating the Yankees in the World Series.
Absolutely brilliant. That is plus 190. Mm. Of the three upsets I'm about to give you, the smallest upset.
Really?
Yes, there were two that were bigger, according to gambling odds.
Can I phone a friend or ask a question here?
Of course!
Is that the most recent one?
No.
So one more recently was a bigger upset.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Who did the Royals play?
Are you being a jerk right now? They played the Mets.
Okay,
Mets.
Is that one?
Believe it or not, the Royals and the Mets were one of the most even World Series odds in the history of the World Series.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
They were actually both minus numbers, which I can't find with any other World Series. All right, I'll give you a hint. One of them is relatively recent. The other one is not. Okay, one of them is relatively recent. The other one is not recent.
Relatively recent.
Yes. Like in the last decade. The other one is back before you probably even watched baseball. So I'll give you that.
Hmm. What about the Braves couldn't be one because maybe the Braves?
The Atlanta Braves in 2021, you're saying?
Yeah. Because they were bad in the regular season.
Plus 120. It was an upset, but not nearly as big.
Okay.
The Braves in 1995 were heavy favorites, so that one doesn't count.
No.
All right, Tommy, I need an answer so we can move on. Stop looking it up. I don't like you.
No, I'm not looking it up.
I'm just looking at the contest.
No, I'm just looking at who won and who played who and trying to guess what the odds
would have
been. I think that's fair.
You're looking at the history of the World Series and saying, all right, that's the upset. All right, go ahead.
All right, how about would the Nationals have been a big underdog against the Houston Astros?
Absolutely.
Really?
That is the recent one.
With Scherzer, Strasburg, and Soto, they were huge dogs?
Well, to your point about wild cards, the Nationals had to win a wild card game to even make the postseason.
Right.
So they went on like this crazy run, and the Astros were 2 years away from winning the World Series. The Washington Nationals were plus 195. Again, perspective, the Blue Jays are plus 184.
Right.
So they were
what was that series?
What do you mean?
What was the series?
Every road team won the series.
Is that right?
A game. It was the only World Series that did it.
Wow.
It was in Houston. The Nationals won game one and two in Houston, lost 3, 4, and 5 in D.C.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I think I have the other one.
The one you're about to say, or the one that we're guessing on, is the biggest upset in the history of the World Series since 1985.
Going back to 85.
Going back to 85, because we don't have anything before that. I'm sure the Mets were huge underdogs in 69.
Was it the, I just had it. It was in the late, were the Twins a big underdog against the Braves?
They were favorites, heavy favorites.
Heavy favorites.
I'm just giving you the answer.
Yeah, just give me. I was going to say A's over the Giants.
You would never guess it.
If you thought about it, you would, because the Oakland A's got to the World Series in 88, lost as a big favorite.
Yeah.
Won it in 89 as a big favorite, and then went to the World Series again in 1990, and they got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, who, are you ready for this? Plus 260. So they weren't only the biggest upset in the history of the World Series. That was the biggest upset in the history of the World Series by a lot.
Right.
You know who I'm stunned is not on this list? The 96 Yankees.
The 1996 Yankees were plus 145, so it was definitely an upset.
Braves defending champs, a young upstart Yankee team, but they weren't in the top three. Okay.
No, and believe it or not, with the whole Cincinnati Reds thing.
Not far out of the top three. But
not that far. The Reds were the biggest underdog, period, in a World Series. So there were plenty of underdogs that didn't win, like the Rockies were plus 200 in 2007.
Oh, I got it. Most of the underdogs lost.
Yes. Rightfully so.
Right.
So the Reds were the biggest underdog, period, and they won the World Series. So just perspective that if the Dodgers do win this series, at least according to gambling odds, it would be the fourth biggest upset in the history of the World Series.
You mean the Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays. What did I say?
You said the Dodgers.
No, that would be expected. The Blue Jays.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The Blue Jays winning would be the fourth biggest upset in the history of the World Series. Now, there's one very important thing I need to address, because this bothered me all night last night. We took a few callers yesterday, and there's been a very popular opinion about, hey, the NBA gambling scandal, what about Ohtani? Mm-hmm. What about Ohtani? What about Ohtani? And what I said yesterday was, look, I'm no fan of Shohei Ohtani, but there's nothing here. Like, the only thing we could potentially have here is that he knew that his interpreter was gambling. Like, right. Okay, and he lied about the interpreter stealing money. And even if you want to go further and say Ohtani did the gambling, the gambling was all on weird soccer games all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you're mad at him for placing bets with an illegal bookmaker, he didn't bet on baseball. And I want to make that clear.
I don't think I realize that. I don't think most people realize that.
I don't think most people realize it either. That's why last night I went back and listened to the bookie himself, Matthew Boyd, who did a few interviews, including one with our own Craig Carton, and said point blank, that account run by Ohtani's interpreter,
right,
never bet on baseball. Here it is. Very quick clip. This is Matthew Boyd with Craig being asked, hey, did that account ever bet on baseball?
I can confirm this fact. There was never one baseball wager put in on that account from that period.
Never a baseball wager.
Right.
So the only scandal that MLB could be covering up is Ohtani betting.
Betting, but not on baseball.
But not on baseball.
And is that illegal?
So here's the issue. This is where it's convoluted. Shohei Ohtani, just like athletes, and we talked about this yesterday, that's why it's connected, they are legally allowed to bet on other stuff.
Right. So there would not be an issue. Even
the
if
issue
it was
is him. It's an illegal bookmaker. That's the issue.
Right.
And that is absolutely an issue, but usually they go after the bookmakers more so than the people.
Right.
But, yeah, would MLB want to cover up that Ohtani was betting on soccer? And one of the funny things from this interview was,
but even if it was Ohtani, so it wasn't iPay, it was Ohtani that was doing this. This feels like a slap on the wrist, not a you need to be banned from baseball.
100%. Like if it's true that Ohtani was the brains behind what his interpreter did, which a lot of people like to believe, he was a gambler on crazy soccer games. So what do we do with that?
Right.
Do we suspend him because he was...
Well, here's the thing, Evan. Do you even care?
If it's about that stuff, no, I actually don't.
Exactly.
You're asking me? No.
I don't see why anyone who's a baseball fan would care or is worried about the integrity of U.S. sports, in this case baseball, why you would care. He's gambling on soccer, and it's probably European soccer. I doubt it's MLS.
I'm going to take it beyond this because I did listen to this entire interview, and it was awesome. The bookie says, I didn't even understand the countries that he was betting on.
Right.
Like, it was so in-depth what his interpreter was gambling on because he was chasing. Like, he was losing a lot. He was losing a ridiculous amount of money. And so he was so desperate to win, he'd be betting, according to the bookie, on countries he didn't even know existed.
Right.
He's like, I know the globe pretty well. I don't know what that was. Mm. So you say MLS. Forget MLS. He was betting on a country we didn't even know existed.
Right.
So I think what is misinterpreted, and the reason I bring this up is, even if MLB is covering something up about Ohtani, what truly are they covering up?
There is nothing of consequence.
Nothing,
is the point.
Nothing that we should be that pissed about.
Right.
Like, yes, I would want MLB to have a real investigation into what happened, and they didn't, and I don't trust MLB, and none of us really do. That's not even my point, but my point is people like to bring up on the day of the World Series, Ohtani probably bet on baseball. Mm-hmm. There's zero evidence of that.
Right. He didn't.
He did not. That account that Ohtani's interpreter used,
right,
according to the bookie who's now in prison, it was all like soccer. Had nothing to do with baseball. So I think the Dodgers are so hated, and Ohtani is so hated by some, especially in New York, that we just want whatever. It doesn't matter. Facts right. don't matter.
People are looking for excuses. They're looking for excuses for him to be the problem, as opposed to this basketball issue just being an isolated issue.
Problem. Yeah.
You know everybody what? Wants to lump everything together.
And it's
that's not fair to Shohei Ohtani.
And here's what we need. If you dislike Shohei Ohtani, here's what we need. 0 for 27 in this series. Give up 8 runs in the one start he makes.
Right.
Get bombed. Just be bad. I mean, that's right. it. Just let him not pitch well and hit well and let the Blue Jays win this thing in 4.
Shohei Ohtani.
Which I'm assuming you're rooting for. You want Blue Jays to win this series or are you all evil?
Well, no, I want the Blue Jays to win.
That's all I'm asking.
Yes, but I think the Dodgers are winning.
I think we all probably think the Dodgers yeah. are winning, but you want the Blue Jays to win.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want the Blue Jays to win, Tommy, or are you doing the reverse logic I was playing with, which is let the Dodgers keep winning so we can be the ones to beat them?
No, I want to be the ones to beat the Dodgers.
So you're rooting for the Dodgers?
I'm rooting for LA.
Yeah. yeah. The confliction I have with that, because I think that too, I brought that up on the air a few weeks ago, is that as much as I want to be the team that beats the Dodgers, mm-hmm. when I sit there, and I won't do it tonight because I'll be at Nets opening night, but tomorrow, is when I sit there to watch Dodgers-Blue Jays, my stomach will root for the Blue Jays.
Right.
As much as my brain tells me.
Because of how, I don't know, annoying their general manager and president is.
And the players.
And the players. Well, the players aren't annoying.
No, when they wave their hands, I hate it. It bothers me.
What do you mean?
It's obnoxious.
They're great, and they know it.
I respect their greatness.
I don't mind the players. I mind the construction.
Okay.
And the arrogance behind the construction.
I mind all of it. Okay. I don't like them. I mean, they're also the Dodgers. Let's not forget, New Yorkers, they left us. I know it's been a while, but is there really a statute of limitations on being left?
No. Most people have no idea.
No, they have an idea. They just don't remember it. Like, I don't remember it. It was my grandfather's time. My dad doesn't even remember it.
I guess I do sometimes, but I usually forget.
Well, you should never forget.
Why?
Because they left us.
I was not here, and us isn't me. I grew up in Virginia.
Okay, but you're a New Yorker now.
Yeah, I'm a New Jersey.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
You're a metropolitan New Yorker.
I'm a metropolitan, yes,
yeah.
but not a Met fan.
That's true. I'm such a hypocrite, because when the Giants do well, the San Francisco Giants, I have no problem rooting for them. So forget what...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I just said, I'm a...
Uh-oh. All right, we have breaking news. A.J. Brown is out
wow.
for Sunday, so there will be no A.J. Brown for the Eagles on Sunday against the Giants.
What is the injury? Hamstring?
Yes.
Think the Eagles are taking the Giants lightly?
No.
Paulson Adebo's not playing, no biggie.
You think this is a protest?
Oh, stop. Is it that bad in Philadelphia?
No, I don't think so, because after the game last week, didn't he basically say this is what happens when you throw the ball?
Like, so right, he had a touchdown. He had a good game.
They had 300 yards, I think, collectively, and 3 touchdowns in that game. So him and Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
And so he said after the game, this is what happens when you throw the ball. You would think he'd be excited to go back and do it again.
No, I think he's genuinely hurt.
I think he definitely is.
And I think the Eagles are probably saying, you know what? Debo's not playing. We'll be all right. No biggie.
Yeah.
Saquon, Devontae. We'll be all right.
Right.
Let's go to Mike on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey guys, I'm actually I'm in Massachusetts, so thank you for entertaining me on my ride up here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, pleasure, man. What's
appreciate
up,
it. What's up?
Yeah, so I just you guys talking about Jets before, and my you know while I'm driving, I'm thinking, what you know, how different? Just a little food for thought. How different would the Jets look if they had lost those last few games a few years ago, and actually Trevor Lawrence was their quarterback these days?
It creates an alternate timeline that leaves us in a better place, but a far different place.
Because you still have to have someone developing him.
Well, it would have been Robert Saleh. I think
or that staff.
I mean, right. It would have been that exact same staff. It would have been Lawrence instead of Zach. We never would have seen the signing of Aaron Rodgers because I don't think they would have given up on Trevor Lawrence.
No.
And I think that the Jets, going down that alternate timeline gives me a headache. But for the sake of that phone call, I think they would have been a decent team and Trevor would still be here, probably with a new head coach.
I agree with you. Kind of the same path that Trevor. It wouldn't have been the same path that Trevor because it wasn't Urban Meyer who's getting fired after a season. But it probably would have been similar, meaning coach is there, gets fired three seasons in or so, and the next coach comes in and actually makes him better.
Yes, I agree.
Because you finally will hire an offensive coach.
Yeah, it would have been a better alternate history.
Right.
Like, not that they would have developed Trevor Lawrence into Joe Namath, but I don't think it would have flamed out the way it did with Zach Wilson. Danny is in West Babylon. What's up, Danny?
Hey, how's it going?
All's
you know,
good.
Before you were talking about teams that have made it, football teams that have made it while coming in as a wild card, and you said that the last team that had been it was 20 years ago, and you forgot about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
You know why I don't include them? But you're right. Like, technically, of course, they were a wild card team. The discussion was more about how many teams have a real chance to win a Super Bowl once the playoffs start. That was the point Tommy brought up, and my answer was, if you look at the last 15 years, it's always the top teams.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were quarterbacked by the GOAT, and they won 11 games after a slow start. It's one of those things where, look at the context of it, it was not a stunning thing. And just to give you perspective on this, because I was looking this up during the break, because I felt like during the Giant run, there was a lot of examples of this, and there truly are. Like, if you look at the last bunch of Super Bowls, every team that's in the Super Bowl is like a 13-win, 12-win, sometimes 11-win team. And that's been the case in every Super Bowl. The fewest wins of a team in a Super Bowl is 11 wins, until you go back to 2012. And then we have
Cavalcade.
Cavalcade. There I was looking for a different word, but we'll go with that.
I thought you were going to say conclave. And I'm like, what are we, voting for Pope?
Kind of conclave.
There was no puff of white smoke.
It was a copium. Not copium. That's a drug.
Copious?
Not copious.
Copacetic?
Cornucopium.
Cornucopia.
Cornucopia.
Cornucopia. There we go. We got there. A cornucopia of teams.
Is that even the right context? Keep going. I'll figure it out.
Oh, we've lost Tiki.
A cornucopia of teams that don't win a lot of games. Listen to this. This is from 2012 and before that. The Ravens won the Super Bowl at 10-6. The year before that, the Giants won the Super Bowl at 9-7. Okay? The year before that, the Packers won the Super Bowl at 10-6, last team in. A couple of years before that, the Cardinals got to the Super Bowl and went 9-7. And the year before that, the Giants at 10-6. So we had like this advanced run of teams sneaking in and then getting to a Super Bowl. That really hasn't been the case in a decade. That's my point. Yes, Tampa Bay was a wild card, but if we're being fair about it, it's Tom Brady.
Right.
It's a little different.
Cornucopia works.
Thank you.
It's a symbol of plenty.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Why do you think that's the case, by the way, what I just said, that the last 10 years has been like the good teams get there. Nothing crazy. But before that, between the Ravens and the Giants and the Cardinals, there's so many examples of like what Tommy was bringing up. I'll just get in and get hot. Like, that hasn't been the case in a decade, but it was the case for a while. Why'd that change?
I'm trying to think. The simple answer would be the quarterbacks. It mattered who your quarterback was, and there just aren't enough really good quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. And so if you have the good one, you're getting there.
Yeah, those teams that did the things we're describing were Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
There
were just more really good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now there's less really good quarterbacks.
Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Artie.
Hey, guys. So, Aaron Glenn needs to win. But you know what would be more beneficial is if he could win with the guy that he paid $30 million to. I'm thinking, in the press conference, he also mentioned a couple of picks, which might lead to give you a hint that I think he's going to go to Fields. And one more, how good does he look to say the owner wants Taylor, but he's going to take, so it shows that he's got the power that he true has.
You're right. Well, Artie, that's what we said.
I think he's going to Fields.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we said on Monday, though. It's almost like, or Tuesday, he almost has to. Otherwise, it feels like the owner is telling him what to do.
100%.
And that's 100%. A crappy place for Woody to put Aaron Glenn in.
Terrible place, unless that was his intent all along.
Yeah.
I was always going back to Justin Fields, but Artie is right, which is why as we sit here today, Friday, 4 o'clock, playing the Aaron Glenn guessing game on who the starting quarterback is going to be, all signs pointed to Tyrod Taylor, but it would make Aaron Glenn, fair or not, look weak that he's bending the knee to the owner
right.
to start someone not named Justin Fields.
Didn't we even get media reports that it looked like Aaron Glenn was going to make the change to Tyrod Taylor?
Yes, the report was, I think it was from Rich Cimini, that it was trending towards
yes, that was,
Tyrod
that was,
Taylor.
That was the verbiage they used.
Now, the thing that could be the caveat, this is the other part of what could be going on, is that Tyrod Taylor's got a banged up knee, and he's questionable. And because of that questionable designation, Aaron Glenn is saying, I don't know,
right.
even though his intent is, well, if Taylor's healthy, he's the guy. But if Taylor is the guy, even if we agree with it, you're right. The perception is the owner basically told him,
right.
you're not starting Justin Fields anymore.
Yeah, because he can't complete a pass.
Yeah.
And his rating is terrible.
His rating. We still don't know which rating, but the rating is terrible.
I need to say this. For those that are really, really geeky and are like, hey, Evan, how come there isn't a part two to the Rico Bronya deep dive on how the Mets went 0-70 when trailing after 8. It's out there. It's been out there for 2 days. Unfortunately, for some reason, hasn't uploaded where you download Apple Podcasts. But if you go to the Odyssey app, it's right there. If you go to Spotify, it's right there. Whether it's on the WFAN YouTube page, it is there.
What are you saying? Odyssey is greater than Apple.
I think I am saying that.
Sounds like it to me.
This is the Rico Brodna Podcast.
I'm saying for some reason, Apple hasn't posted it. And I got good news. When I get back from the Nets game tonight, after they lose by 45 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, there will be a Friday night live Rico Brodna in which we'll break down Dickie Lovelady and Francisco Lindor's injury. And many, many other things. It'll be a Rico Bronya mailbag. So that's tonight if you're bored. Now, I'll tell you this. On this radio station, we do have the Giant game on Sunday, 1 o'clock against the Eagles. You'll get to hear Tiki on the pre and post. Let's get a little preview. Let's get a Giants clean, crisp breakdown, sponsored by Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy.
All right, this is something that everybody has been talking about really since the beginning of the season, and it's gotten a little bit more like the norm. I'm obviously talking about Sexy Dexie. Dexter Lawrence, who is the three technique nose tackle. He's that interior stud who's an all-pro for the New York Giants. Why is he going to be the most important piece this week against the Philadelphia Eagles? Cam Jurgens is out. He's not playing in this game. That's their center. Landon Dickinson has been battling ankle injuries. He played last week, so I'm assuming he's going to play this week. But their offensive line, just as it was 2 weeks ago, is banged up, the Philadelphia Eagles. And so what happens interiorly is going to be so important. And the one thing that you've seen, obviously with Dex, but you've also seen it with Abdul Carter, or sometimes they use Brian Burns, pressing up over the center to force him to make decisions. And if you're in there in against the backup, it just creates a better opportunity. This game will be won for the Giants if they're going to win it by shutting down what they're trying to do offensively and getting after Jalen Hurts. I forgot how many times he got sacked in the last time they played. I think it was only a couple sacked. He was sacked 3 times. I could see that. I could see the Giants getting multiple sacks this weekend simply because of the issues with the Eagles' offensive line.
There you go. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Ozzy in Woodridge.
What up, Oz?
What's up, Ozzy?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
All's good.
Good.
You talked about a couple Eagles being out, A.J. Brown being out. I know he went back and forth prior to game one, but do we know yet if Rick Brunson has decided to play cat tonight again, or is he going to sit him out?
Do we have? I know Mitch is out, which is, it's concerning. I don't know what else to say, but do we have an injury update on Cat and Josh Hart going into tonight's game, Lugie?
No. Josh Hart, I believe, was likely to play, and Cat was questionable.
All right, there you go. So he's questionable.
And Mitch is still on maintenance? And
Mitch is out. Mitch maintenance.
He's just on maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah, officially, here's the injury report. Josh Hart is questionable for tonight's game. Mitchell Robinson is ruled out. OG Anunoby is probable.
And Carl Anthony Towns is questionable. Mm. So we'll find out what Rick decides.
All right. Yeah, and I noticed when I was watching opening night, wasn't too good for my team. But Rick sits right next to Mike Brown because, I don't know if Tibbs gave Mike Brown the heads up, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
What are you suggesting, Ozzy?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm suggesting, Tiki, and I haven't figured it out yet, and only time will tell. For Rick, it's either knives out again, like he did with Tibbs, sitting next to Tibbs, shanked him really quick at the end of last season, or Rick Brunson has his hand up the back of Mike Brown's shirt and is puppeting with every coaching decision possible that Mike Brown is going to make on opening night and every night after that.
Man, what do you make of this?
I haven't figured it out one.
I mean,
do you buy Ozzie's conspiracy that Rick Brunson is the...
I saw a lot of what in game one, what we didn't see last year, including... What, they play 11 guys?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the antithesis of Tibbs last year.
Well, if Rick Brunson, I'm going to walk down Ozzie's road here. Rick Brunson is truly the head coach in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Brown is just doing Rick's doing. You know what I'd say? I like those results from opening night because, to your point, things were different. And it wasn't just about the rotation. That's easy. That's obvious. And yes, it's important.
Well, it's not necessarily easy and obvious, because when you have Mitch out, it changes the way that you run your lineup. Like, who comes in?
I just mean obvious in that we saw 11 guys on the floor.
Right.
I think the brand of basketball was different.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, Jalen Brunson's shot chart was different.
Right.
The types of shots he took was different. The mm-hmm. amounts of threes that they took was different. The ball movement was different. Right. Like, there were a lot of things that were different. And, oh, by the way, they won. So when you mix that all together, whether it's Mike Brown, Rick Brunson, or Evan Roberts secretly coaching the New York Knicks, if the results are that...
Who cares?
Who cares?
Agreed.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Rick Brunson apparently is paid a lot anyway, so it doesn't matter if he doesn't get the credit. He's got the paycheck.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's go to Steve on Long Island. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing? As always, love your show.
Thank you, man.
I'm still sick. As big Giant fan, I'm still sick from Sunday from last week. I tried calling Monday to give my thought on it, but I couldn't hold on any longer. But I'll tell you one thing. Tiki, loved your heart, loved the way you play, but I had to disagree with you. I don't know if it's because you wore the blue, you had to stick up for everybody, but regardless of the crap that the coach wants, the table wants to throw out, no, there was no justification in throwing that third down pass.
Oh, of course.
Run it,
You're agreeing with me.
Yeah, let him burn the time. Right. No. But at first you said, when Dable explained it, you said, well, he said, he's my guy. I want to give him more confidence. We were confident for 55 minutes. You didn't have to give him any more reinforcement.
You did not listen to the post game.
Okay.
You did not listen to me.
He basically eviscerated that decision.
I crushed that decision. Okay. That was the reason in my evaluation of this game why they lost that game. Maybe what you heard was, I get why Dabes is saying this.
Right.
But he's wrong.
Well,
I get why he wants to believe that Jackson Dart can make this play in this moment because he has ultimate faith in him. Sean had the same opinion, but he was wrong. There was one thing you did in that moment. Run the ball, make the Broncos use their timeout, and then force them to go the length of the field two more times. Not give them a short field so they score in a minute. So I understand the rationale. I understand the words coming out of Dabes' mouth. He was wrong.
You know what else?
That was my point.
You also run into something else. I run into this too. I give you a comp. So you eviscerated that decision.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you said, Brian Daboll's the head coach.
Right. Because I eviscerated that decision.
Correct.
Not the preparedness of this team. Not the fight of this team. Not the development of a lot of players on this team.
And also for some.
Which he deserves credit for.
Sure. But I also think for some, they need you to say, I want him fired.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Like, I did a whole podcast about David Stearns. Not even kidding you. And 98% of it was eviscerating every decision he made. But at the end of the day, I don't want David Stearns fired.
Right.
So there are some out there saying, oh, you're not hard enough on David Stearns. Mm-hmm. Like, I eviscerated the guy for 98% of a 1.5-hour podcast.
Right.
Because I didn't say I want him fired, that means he's like my best friend? No! Like, there's...
there are lines to this. There's criticism on individual decisions, or in Dabes' case, plays, before we go fully on the firing thing. And here's the firing thing. When this season is complete and they play 17 games, I think it is will be much clearer for you, me, and everybody else to say they should move on, or, hey, they should run it back. Because we're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
They're 2-5 right now. If they finish 2-15, there's a good chance Tiki and everyone else are going to be like, boy, I'll tell you, they may have to get rid of the head coach.
There's 10 more games to go. And they're going to be in every game, I think. I think they can play with everybody on their remaining schedule. It's just a matter of how they learn or not how to win.
Let's go to, oh, this is a great question. I got to go to this guy. Andrew in Eastchester. What's up, Andrew?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I asked the dopey blonde quarterback on the morning show the same question, and his answer was no. So, yeah. Tiki, when you were at either when you were at Virginia or during your time with Big Blue, anybody ever come to you with an offer to, let's say, throw a game or like, hey, you know, listen, you put the ball on the ground, you rush for less than 75 yards. And
never.
You know, 50 grand.
Never.
Not once, huh?
Not once. I don't think I ran in those circles. Like, I wasn't in the shady world. You know what I mean? Like, the gambling world, the mafia world. I mean, I knew people, obviously, but I wasn't in that world.
You also, and Boomer, too. What did he call him?
The blonde in the morning.
The
dopey blonde quarterback.
The blonde guy in the morning.
Yeah, there was another word he used, dopey. I don't think Boomer's dope. Maybe. You guys also have played in an era in which it was around.
Yeah.
But now it's around.
Yeah, and it was almost, it was in the shadows. It was taboo.
There wasn't live betting sites to go on to.
No.
And that's why I want to play this for you from Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown said something. A lot of it's not true, by the way, so we'll go through some of the things he said, but it was interesting. Jaylen Brown was asked about his opinion on gambling, especially with what's going on in the NBA and what happened with Terry Rozier and the idea of prop bets and all that kind of stuff. So I want you to listen to Jaylen Brown's answer, because there's a lot of interesting things that come out of it. So here he is, Jaylen Brown, while not complaining about the New York Knicks, talking about gambling in the NBA.
Me personally, I think, you know, that whole world was introduced a couple of years ago, and I don't think they took players into consideration, especially with, you know, the energy and the behavior that goes around, you know, gambling, and how that directly correlates with players. We don't benefit from any of the profits or anything like that, but we got to deal with, you know, a lot of the extra negativity and scrutiny behind all the gambling stuff. And then on top of that, you know, it creates more integrity issues, et cetera. So I'm not sure what the answer is going forward. But, you know, definitely something that people got to spend more time having conversations about.
One thing that he said that is just so not true, I have to call him out on it, is that they don't make anything.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
It's league revenue.
It's league revenue, which they split.
Right.
So, Jaylen, we love you. Well, most people here don't love you because you're on the Celtics, but I'm saying that almost like jerkingly. We love you, but that's not true.
Right.
So let's just cut that out.
It's a minor thing, but it's not true.
Yeah, minor thing. It's a myth. He said we don't make any money off of it.
He thinks they don't make money off of it. He thinks that the owners just give them money because the owners want to give them money.
Yeah, we just want to hand you that check. Right. Number two, he is so right about one thing. I go to a lot of basketball games. I'm going to be at one tonight. Mm-hmm. The screaming and the taunting about player props towards players, it does occur.
I agree.
And that's not,
it's
I'm not
bad.
Saying.
It's bad.
It's bad.
And it's what people mostly talk to, just randomly about whoever. That's what most people talk about is, hey, is he scoring a touchdown today? I don't know. I don't care. Does the team win? That's what matters. But so many people talk about the individual statistics more so than I think it's ever been.
And I think where it can be dangerous is, I'll use tonight's Nets game as an example. Mm-hmm. They're down by 30 with 5 minutes to go, and Donovan Mitchell's still on the floor. Mm. But he needs another three so Jay in row seven can win his parlay.
Right.
He will scream about that.
Right.
And Donovan Mitchell will hear that. Now, he should ignore it, obviously, but it's in the air a lot more. And I'm not saying that means you should ban it. I'm just... It's out there. It's a thing now. Like, especially basketball games that are well decided. Like, game's over, but right. It's not over, as Al Michaels was having fun with last night on the football game. The game is over, but it's not over, if you know what I mean. We know what you mean, Al.
Right.
You can actually say it out loud now, unlike 30 years ago, where right. You're like, can't say over-unders.
Everyone has a partner, like everybody does.
Just say it, Al. But it is true that the temperature around basketball games is very different because a lot of people in that building are thinking about their parlays.
Right, it's actually kind of sad.
So what do you do?
Because the fandom has evolved away from being about the player or even the team. Because, you know, fantasy sports shifted it towards players
right.
As opposed to teams. Like, I'm a big, let's say, LeBron James fan, even though I'm not a Cleveland Cavalier fan. So that happened, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. Now it's gone to the point where you don't even enjoy, even if it's your team, winning if the player doesn't hit the props.
Right.
And so it's like this transactional relationship that used to be this fan, fanatic relationship, it's now transactional. And it just feels dirty. And so I get what Jaylen Brown is talking about because it's not fair to the player to be judged by how many points you scored. It should be, how well did you play? Were you a great defender? Yeah, I know you only scored 8 points in this game, but you know what? You D'd up whoever the other guy was, and it helped your team win the game.
Yeah, you're right.
You were great. It just didn't show up in the stat book. And you know what it is? It's Abdul Carter against the Eagles. He did not show up in the stat book. There was not a stat for Abdul Carter. He was invaluable for what they did to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. So if you had an over 1.5 sacks for Abdul Carter,
you're pissed.
You're pissed.
Right.
Even though he played an unbelievable game. That's not fair to Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
That's what this has become.
There's a part of me that wonders, are we better off? And it would hurt the sports books. Mm-hmm. I admit this. It would hurt the leagues because it would take a little bit of interest away. But do we ban prop bets? Because it is the easiest thing to manipulate.
But it's also easy. It's the easiest thing to comprehend as a gambler.
It is
the low-hanging fruit.
But that's why I know, and I admit it, that's the first thing I say, I know it's not good for the sports books.
Right.
I know it's not good for the leagues. I know that some people listening who love props and be like, ah, that sucks. But the reason I say it is not even Jaylen Brown's reasoning of the temperature in the arena, but it's the easiest thing to manipulate.
Yeah.
That Terry Rozier situation was easy for him to do that. And so I just wonder aloud, is that something we should consider?
Possibly.
That's
not going to happen. We could talk about it all we want. We could make an impassioned plea to get rid of prop bets because it protects the integrity of the players and the fans' interpretation or judging of the players, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
It's too much money involved in prop betting.
No, you're probably right. Justin is in Dobbs Ferry. Good afternoon, Justin.
Hey, what's going on? Going into this game today with Sunday with the Giants, beating them once, the Eagles. Scottabu outperforming Barkley. Robinson outperforming, AJ Brown. How are they 7.5-point underdogs? I don't understand that going into this and game going in here, TK.
Part of it is probably because they're on the road. Honestly, I don't know.
I think the Eagles are better.
I mean, they are, no, but they aren't. I mean, their record will tell you that they're better, but statistically, they're not.
Okay, but roster-wise, they are, even with the injuries they're facing. I mean, look at the Giant receiving core.
Yeah.
Let's just start there. Like, with A.J. Brown being out with Philadelphia, just compare it.
Who has a better offensive line?
I mean, I guess right now in the current state, especially with Andrew Thomas being healthy, I guess I'd give the edge to the Giants.
Yeah, so how does that not affect everything that you were just alluding to?
It does affect it. I think it closes the gap a little bit, but Saquon Barkley still exists.
Saquon Barkley has 358 yards this year.
I know,
Cam Scadaboo, who's split in time with Tyrone Tracy, has more yards than
I think. But don't you think it's taken into account that even though, yes, statistically, Scadaboo has been as good, the Giant offense has been as good,
There's a track record for
track records matter.
There's a track record for Jalen Hurts. So maybe that's the answer. Because there's a track record, you give them the benefit of the doubt. There's an edge that's given. And it's on the road and it's hostile.
Well, on the road, hostile, and the records.
Yeah.
I mean, the Eagles they have a better record.
Yeah.
It's in the weeds, but the books haven't respected the Giants yet. Remember, they were dogs against the Saints.
Yeah.
They're still big underdogs in these games. I actually think the line might be giving the Giants a little respect. Remember, they were 7-point dogs at home against the Eagles. Now they're 7 points on the road.
Right.
In theory, they should be a bigger underdog. So it tells you that Vegas is starting to give the Giants a little bit more respect.
Right. They got to win more games.
Yeah, exactly.
And
correct.
If they do, this will change. But as of right now, as of this moment, as of my voice saying this on October 24th at 4:48 p.m., the New York Giants are going to be underdogs for every game the rest of the season. Now, that can change. Like, they play the Vikings at home.
Right.
So what is the status of the Minnesota Vikings when we get to week 16? It could very well be different, especially if the Giants keep winning games. So card subject to change. I am merely saying in this moment, right now, and I'm sure one of the gambling sites have this, the lines for every game right now.
Going forward, right.
Going forward, I would guess they are underdogs in every game. Card subject to change. Because, look, I look at a bunch of games at the end of the season and see how it could be different. Like, home against Washington, what are the Commanders? Is Jaden Daniels healthy? Fair. Home against the Vikings, does J.J. McCarthy play? I mean, by the way, he don't play last night. They say he's hurt. We all see the clip of him on the sidelines hurdling a guy when he was standing out of bounds. He didn't look hurt.
No, he didn't. What was the injury?
I forget what it was.
Oblique?
Was that what it was?
I don't remember.
Hurt feelings? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I think it was sprained ankle for McCarthy.
Sprained ankle?
Ankle injury.
He did not look like he had a sprained ankle last night.
As he hurtled up?
Well, he had a sprained ankle for the past month. I don't know how long they take to heal, but...
I don't know.
He didn't look hurt. But as of right now, and again, it can change, the Giants are going to be underdogs unless they change it. I mean, go beat the Eagles this week. All go beat the Niners. Go beat the Bears. Go beat the Packers. Mike's in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I've been listening for a while. I remember people alluding to you, the millions you have. And I think you mentioned yesterday you had an offshore bank account.
No,
people with millions have offshore bank accounts. I think you've been lying to us.
I do not. Thank you, Mike. I do not have millions. I do not have an offshore bank account. What I said, probably shouldn't have said it, was that years ago I made a bet. I actually made a couple of bets with an offshore betting account because that's the only way you could do it before it was legalized.
Yeah.
So, but a long, long time ago. And I could tell you a whole story about that. It was a pain in the ass because it was so weird and seedy.
I'm reading about J.J. McCarthy's ankle.
You don't buy it.
Well.
You don't buy it. You can say it. It's a Fugazi ankle injury.
So apparently, I don't know how I missed this. Right before, 12 minutes to go in the second quarter, Cam Hart tackled Justin Jefferson out of bounds, and they fell near McCarthy. And then he had to hop, and he turned awkwardly on his ankle.
Oh, so this is how he initially got the ankle injury.
No, this was last night.
Well, last night I saw him hurtle out of the way. He looked great. He looked fantastic.
Here, let me watch this. Yeah, no, he was fine.
He's fine. And now he's going to play again because Carson Wentz, that dream is dead.
The article is writing contrary to what actually happened.
Yeah.
It's a NARP.
He's a
definitely.
NARP.
Definitely. It's Newsweek.
Here's all I know. You're funny. Here's all I know. J.J. McCarthy doesn't look very good. They gave him a break because of an ankle injury. Uh-huh. He's going to come back. And Kevin O'Connell may think he's too smart for his own doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can win with anybody.
Yeah. Look at Sam and Daniel now.
Right.
Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones leave. Everything is great.
Former Vikings quarterbacks are 11-3.
Mm.
The current Viking quarterbacks are 3-4.
It does not look good.
No.
Back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. We will make our NFL picks coming up at 5:30. And how difficult is it to play a team twice in 3 weeks? And how many times did Tiki Barber have to do that? I've done the research. We'll see if Tiki remembers.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.